is not king, is the king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is lighter. Indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't have him.
Hello, everybody. This is Pastor Brandon coming to you live from Salem Springs, Arkansas, with another Pastor Brandon live broadcast. And this is the broadcast that is your shelter from the storms of life. And the more you listen, the more you know why. It is good to be here this morning. It is, let's see what time it is. It is 9:01 in the a.m. I guess my laptop says 9:04, but my clock says 9:01. But I don't know about you guys, but ever since we had to spring forward, it's been, you lose an hour of sleep and you get tired and just worn out and worn down and stuff like that. And I don't know if I'm the only one or if there's other people out there that know how I'm feeling and all that stuff. But anyway, but it's good to be here. Let me take a drink of water real quick. It's good to be here, and it's good to be here today. We're going to be picking up on our Ten Commandments series this morning, and it's going to be probably a hurtful one, and it's going to be a big one, and it's about adultery. And adultery is so huge that it covers like an enormous amount of areas, and I know we could probably get into every single aspect, but I just don't have that time. So we're going to kind of briefly touch on some aspects of it that hopefully that it will show you that, again, you can't keep the law, number one. And number two is that you need Jesus Christ. Because without Christ, you are nothing. Good morning, sister. It's good to see you. How you doing this morning? Praise the Lord. And glad that you can join us this morning. I'm glad for all those who can join in this morning. God bless you guys. I'm going to be talking about the seventh commandment, I think it is. I think it's the seventh. Yeah, because this is part number eight, so this would be the seventh commandment. So I'm going to be talking about thou shalt not commit adultery. Anyways, prayers and praises. Does anybody have any prayer requests they'd like to share? Any praises they like to share? Anything at all? You can feel free to just put it at the bottom of the comments or whatever. But while you all doing that, I'm just going to read off some prayer requests from my prayer list. Amen. And it's usually the same prayer list that I have. Okay, first one. Please pray for our fellow sister for strength, as well as, just rest. Please keep her mother in prayer. Keep her in prayer because she's kind of going through kind of a transitional period right now. Her son is actually moving like a couple thousand miles away. So that she's kind of taking that kind of hard, but please pray that God will give her grace and strength for that. She also has a friend whose leg is injured. So if you could pray for that as well. Keep a fellow brother in prayer for salvation for his family and his ex-wife. Please keep a fellow sister in prayer for salvation for her father. Please keep Brother Joey in prayer. Brother Joey, he has, he's got pain ever so often. And so there are days that he has good days and there are just days where the pain just sort of flares up on him. So please keep him in prayer. Please keep Brother Ryan in prayer for his family and his ministry. Brother Ryan's a good friend of mine. I've known him for, boy, how long has it been? It's been a good couple years since I've actually known him. We just sort of been kind of out of touch. Like, I don't say out of touch because we keep in touch. We keep in touch by Facebook, but let's put it this way. I miss his fellowship. I desire to go up there to see him sometime. But please keep Brother Ryan in prayer. Keep his family in prayer, his ministry in prayer. Let's see here. Please pray for me and my ministry. Please pray for me and my family. And pray, for my ministry, for the Facebook ministry, YouTube ministry, sermon audio ministry. Pray that God will take it and use it for his kingdom, for his glory, his honor. Amen. Let's see here. We do have another sister that is wanting salvation for her family. So keep her in prayer. There is someone that is in need for direction and a job and I think maybe even a place to live. I'm not sure. But keep them in prayer. And then also we have a fellow sister that wants prayer for the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Good morning, Georgia. Good to see you. God bless you. It's great to see you this morning. Thank you for tuning in. All those who are tuning in, thank you all for joining me. It's great to see you guys. Does anybody have any prayer requests or any praises that you'd like me to add? I guess we can pray before we, let's see here. Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, I'm going to tell you something, Sister Sherry, that God is light and light's going to expose darkness. Amen. And whether people hide their sin, and if people could try to hide their sin, but light will expose it. Amen. And the only way... I'm going to tell you something. If a person sins, better off just repenting of it, right? They're better off to repent from their sins, and they're better off getting it dealt with in private with God instead of having a last resort where God just exposes everything. Amen. I'm gonna tell you something. That just wouldn't be a very good place to be. Just to have your sins exposed. It'd be better just to go before God and confess them, right? But anyways, well, praise God. You know, God, I'll tell you what, that shows that God is alive and He is coming back. God is not dead. God is very much still alive because God raised Him. God raised His Son on the third day, and now He is at the right hand of the Father, and the Lord is going to come back for His people. And I think, and I believe He's coming back real soon, but I think before that happens, there's probably going to be a shaking that takes place before we go home. Amen. Anyways, does anybody have any prayers or praises at all? Just anything? I guess if that's it, then I guess I'll go ahead and I'll pray over these requests and pray over the word, and we'll begin. All right, dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank You, Lord, for today. Lord, I do pray and ask You, Lord, I come before You and ask that, Lord, that You'd please forgive me, Lord, of my sins. Lord, I pray that You'd please, Lord, forgive me for the things I've done wrong. That You please, Lord, have mercy on me. That You please cleanse and wash me, Lord, from all the things I've done. And Father, I do thank You for Your mercy and Your grace and love and forgiveness, Lord. I do thank You, Lord, for Your just everything that You've done, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for all these prayer requests that I mentioned. Lord, I do lift up every single one of those prayer requests to You, Lord. I pray, Lord, that You just have Your way and will, Lord, and just have Your way and will, Lord, in their lives. I just pray, Lord, that those who need to be saved, that You would work in their hearts and lives, that they would come to You sooner rather than later. Father, I do pray for this video. Please give me the words to speak, Lord. Please use this video for Your purpose and glory, Lord. Please give me the words that You'd want me to speak. Please lead and guide me, Lord, because there are times I don't know what to do or say. And Father, I do thank You, Lord, for all those who've tuned in and are tuning in, Lord. And I appreciate You, Lord, and I love You, Lord. And Lord, I just pray and ask that You just have Your way and will. And Father, I do thank You and praise You and glorify You. And Father, I do thank You that You've heard me. I thank You, Father, You always hear me. And I thank You, Father, You always answer my prayers. Father, I do lift this to You, and I do pray and ask all these things in the name of Your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior from Nazareth. Amen. All right, you guys. All right, share. Okay, I will share. I'm gonna put that in my prayer request list. Okay, and if I don't put it in my prayer request list, I'm gonna forget. So I'll put that down for you. Okay, sister. I'd be more than happy to pray for you on that. Whoops. For some reason, it just wants to go crazy on me. Why is this? All right. Amen. All right, you guys ready? I'm sorry to hear that, sister. We'll pray for him, okay? We'll pray for him. Anyways, it's good to be here. I do want to say this. I don't normally usually pray openly on my broadcast, and the reason for that is because I don't want to be one of those that just wants to pray to be seen of men, you know? I much prefer to pray in private, you know, when I'm alone with God, you know? I don't normally pray like that out in the open like that. So if I don't do that every broadcast, please don't take that personally. I just personally don't. I don't want to be put myself in a position to where, you know, I'm praying just to be seen of men. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm going to tell you something. That's what the Pharisees did, and they were just a bunch of religious nut jobs. Amen? anyways, So I just wanted to put that out there, all right? So please don't take it personally if I don't pray like that on every single broadcast. I have my own convictions on that. But it's good to be here this morning. This morning, we're going to be talking about adultery. And I'm going to tell you something. That's going to be a pretty heavy topic, okay? It's a pretty heavy topic. It's probably going to be a pretty convicting topic, amen? Because it covers a whole wide variety of stuff. But if you have your Bibles this morning, please turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20. And we're going to start in verse 14. Exodus 20, verse 14. And that's the only verse we're going to go to in Exodus. But actually, we're going to go to other places in the Bible as well. But turn with me to Exodus 20, 14. And it says this, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Okay? Now, adultery, like I said, covers a wide variety of areas. It can come anywhere as looking at pornographic videos, images. It can come in the form of a man desiring another man's wife. It can be marriage from divorce, which I'm going to touch on because divorce is kind of a big topic, and I don't want anyone to feel condemned by it. I know there are probably people who are divorced, and the way I understand it is, I mean, if a person marries a divorced person, obviously repent, but at the same time, make good of that marriage, amen. Try to make every best of that marriage as you can, because God specifically ordained marriage in a certain way, and the divorce is not part of God's perfect plan, amen. And obviously, it happens a lot more frequent than we know. So I'm going to try to be as very much comforting when it comes to that particular topic, but I got to just tell it as it is. Let's see here. We also have adultery in the form of idolatry, okay? Idolatry is adultery, okay? So, the purpose of the series is to show that you can't keep the commandments. Now, just because we can't keep the commandments does not give us a right to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, okay? It's not an excuse to go off and sin, okay? But the commandments are there to show us that we are sinners in need of a Savior, and that we can't keep them, okay? Because Israel couldn't keep them, we can't keep them either. And if Israel can't keep them and the Gentiles can't keep them, I'm not gonna tell you guys to keep the law, okay? It just. And when I say that, I don't want you to misunderstand what I mean by that. Okay. When I say that I'm not gonna require you to keep the law. Okay. Number one, I'm talking about as per salvation. Okay. Because you can't keep the law for salvation. If that was the requirement, I will tell you we will fail miserably. And if people want to be under that covenant of keeping the law, okay, then God's going to expect 100% perfection out of you, which means you have to keep the law, the whole law, to a T, which means you got to keep it perfectly, in other words, amen, and no one can keep it perfectly. So I don't want this to be a condemning message, okay? This message is going to be hard, but I don't want this message to be a condemning message. I want this message to help people realize that you can't keep the law and that you need Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to tell you something. Anyone in Christ is a new creature, and therefore there is no condemnation. There is no condemnation to anyone in Christ. Amen. Christ came to save, to seek and to save that which was lost. Okay, so there is no condemnation in Christ. Okay, But there is going to be a day where there will be judgment. Okay? So, with that said, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 18, it says, "Thou shalt not, neither shalt thou commit adultery." Okay? So we see that twice. God speaketh once, yea, twice. Twice for emphasis. That means it's important. Okay? Now, what is kind of like the definition, the overall definition of adultery? Well, in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10, it says, "And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death." Now, let me tell you something. That was Old Testament, okay? Now, David, King David, committed adultery with another man's wife. And if I remember correctly, David was already married. Okay? David was already married, and he sought after another man's wife. Okay? Bathsheba. That was the wife of Uriah. And so we know that David stayed behind in Jerusalem when at a time when he shouldn't have stayed behind. And what he did was he looked out his window and saw a woman bathing herself. And he lusted after her. And we're going to get to that in a minute too. We'll get in a bit, okay? And so eventually what happened was that led David into committing adultery, and David, trying to cover up his sin, committed murder by having Uriah the Hittite killed in battle. So David committed adultery and he murdered, okay? But David knew what he did was wrong, and therefore when Nathan the prophet confronted him about it, Nathan told David that God hid away his sin. Okay? And yet David lived. But just because God forgave him and hid away his sin doesn't mean that he didn't have to go through the consequences, because there were consequences for that action. The first being that his child died. And the second thing is that the sword never left his house. Okay, the sword never left his house. Means that he had conflict within his own house because of his sin. Okay, that should show you that your sin does not just affect you, it affects everybody else too. Okay, that's how sin works. Sin affects you and it affects your loved ones, whether you realize it or not. It does. So, we see that a part of a definition of it is when a man goes after another man's wife. Okay, he's already committed adultery. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 32, Ezekiel 16, 32. There you go. It says, "But as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her own husband." So, in other words, it's not just the husband, but it can also be the wife. If the wife chooses strangers over her husband, that's adultery. Amen? Now, without getting too graphic and without getting, you know, and trying to keep it at PG, okay? If you have a married couple, a husband and wife, and if you're not, let's put it this way, if you're not exercising that gift that God gave to that married couple, if you're not exercising that gift, and I think that you all know what I'm talking about, if you're not exercising that gift, then you're susceptible to going off and finding it somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? And so, and if that's the case, and you find it somewhere else, that right there is adultery. Okay? That is why that particular gift that God gave a husband and wife should be exercised frequently in the privacy of their own home. That's about as all as I'm going to say about that. That's about as PG as I'm going to make it. Okay? I'm not going to get into detail. I'm not going to get into that. I don't want to make this a rated R message. Okay? But it's, you know, I'm just going to keep it as PG as I can. Okay? Now, if we turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32. Oops, I went far. There we go. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32. Proverbs 6:32. It says, But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. Now haven't you recognized that a lot of the movies that Hollywood is putting out there is glorifying adultery and fornication? And a lot of these so-called... I'm going to tell you something. There was a movie that was done like, I think 5 years ago. 5-6 years ago. It's called 50 Shades of Grey, which if you don't know what that movie is, I did a video on it. I did a video exposing it. But I need to put this out there because I've never seen the movie. I have no desire to see the movie. But I've done a little bit of research and I did enough research to know that it's a bad movie. Okay? But when they made like 3 movies. It's a trilogy. I don't even know why they would make such filthy, disgusting, abominable movies like that. But they made 3 movies of 50 Shades of Grey. It's just different titles. That's all. 3 different titles. But when that first movie came out, I heard people tell me that there were supposed Christians that went to go see it. And I'm thinking to myself, that's not a good idea. That's terrible. Listen, if you're born again, you shouldn't be seeing movies like that. Okay? You shouldn't be seeing movies like that. Be careful little eyes what you see. Be careful little ears what you hear. Amen? For the Father up above, looketh down below. Be careful little eyes what you see. Okay? We got to be careful what we take in, because I'm going to tell you something. And this goes for me too. We all need to be careful what we take in our eyes, because what we take in, Satan can use against us. Amen. But we see here that, you know, that these movies are glorifying fornication and adultery. It's not right. Now, some people might say, well, praise God, I don't go off and cheat on my spouse and I don't go off and fornicate with other spouses. Well, I wouldn't be so sure about that. Okay? I wouldn't be so sure about that. Okay? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 through 28. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. In verse 28, it says, but I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. You know, what Jesus is telling you is, see, here's the thing. You all, anyone who might be watching might be like, well, praise God, I'm not like that. I don't go off and fornicate with another person's spouse. Well, Jesus kind of raised the bar. He said, even if you look at them lustfully, you've already committed adultery with them in your heart. So let me ask you a question. How many would you say say that they lust after people and things? Because I'm going to tell you something. Lust, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, those are quite damaging to one's personal life. And the thing is, we're all susceptible to it. I'm not exempt from it. I'm even susceptible to it. Even more so knowing that I'm serving the Lord. Amen. But Jesus is saying that even if you look at a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. So now we see that adultery isn't just limited to going off and cheating on your spouse for another spouse. Okay? But adultery is also just even lusting after someone. I'm going to tell you something. Our society is so immodest. Our society is so immodest at how they dress and what they wear. Okay? You have women that wear shorts that are like showing their thigh. Which, by the way, according to God's definition of nakedness, showing your thigh is nakedness. You might be clothed, but if you're showing your thigh, that is nakedness. And what really just turns and grinds my gears, and what makes me upset and not happy, is when you get these women that dress the way they do, and when you get men lusting after them, you know, then they get, then I bet you some of them get upset and say, quit looking at me. Well, let me tell you something. You just set it up for yourself. You dress in a way in which the man is looking at you in a lustful way and you don't like it. That's on you. Now, I'm not saying the man is innocent. The man is just as guilty as you are. First of all, he shouldn't be lusting, period. But secondly, you shouldn't have been dressing the way that you should. You know, I think if this nation had a little bit more modest in what we wear, we probably wouldn't have as much of an issue with adultery in that area. But this nation, a lot of the women in this nation dress immodestly. They show things that shouldn't be shown, that should be covered up. Can I get an amen from God's people on that? We need to have more modesty in this nation. I think women need to dress more modestly than they do now. And I'm not saying all women. There are actually very virtuous women that are very, the way they dress is like very modest. I commend those. All those women and young ladies that dress modestly, I commend you for that. I commend you because at least you're not putting yourself out there as a distraction. Amen. So Jesus says that if you look on a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. Okay. Matthew chapter 5, verse 32. Okay. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving, which is except for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Now listen, I understand that the divorce is kind of a very big topic. And I understand that there are probably women that are divorced and remarried. Okay? Now listen, I don't want to condemn you, okay? Divorce is not part of God's plan. Okay? And if you are divorced and are remarried, okay? Repent. But really make use of that marriage. Okay? Really make use of that marriage. Don't let it slip away. Okay, I understand that. I mean, I understand there are reasons why people get divorced. Okay, and let me just say this as an encouragement. Okay, if you got a spouse that doesn't want to commit, okay, I could see why or how they want to divorce, how divorce should be probable. Or because, you know, if they don't want to commit, most likely they're having an affair. And if they're having an affair, well then, okay, I can understand how divorce can be applicable. There are instances where divorce is applicable. And I don't want to get too much into divorce because it is such a big topic. It's something that I don't even understand myself. Okay? But here's the thing. If there's anyone that's watching that's born again, that got divorced and remarried, okay, I just want to say, listen, God loves you. It's water under the bridge. Just please make use of that marriage that you're in. Amen? Please do make use of that marriage that marriage that you are in. Okay? And try to make it the best marriage you can. Okay? And the way that you do that is putting Christ at the center of it. Okay? I'm not trying to sound condemning. But I do have to preach the truth according to the Word of God. Amen. So the stuff I'm going to read as per divorce is that's what Jesus said. Okay? But understand that if you're born again, there is no condemnation. Okay? I'm not trying to condemn you. And I hope all you guys that are watching, I hope you guys understand that. Okay? I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not your judge. But God is. Okay? Matthew chapter 19, verse 9. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. Mark chapter 10, verse 11. And he saith unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife, and marry another, committeth adultery against her. And if a man shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. Now here's why Jesus is saying that, okay? Because marriage is between one man and one woman. What God hath put together, let no man put asunder, okay? And so whatever God hath put together, okay, marriage is supposed to be. The biblical definition of marriage is supposed to be a lifelong thing. Okay? Now, let's see here. Hang on a second. I want to show you what Paul says about it. Okay? Romans chapter 7, verse 2. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. Okay? That is why. Now, what does that mean? Law to her husband. What it means is, if you have a husband, okay, you got a man and a wife that marry, okay, so they're husband and wife. As long as they are both living, they have to remain together because of the vows that they've taken up before God and everybody that was there. Okay? To divorce is to break those marital vows. Okay? But now, a person can be remarried. Paul gives the answer here. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. Okay? So if you have a man and a wife and they're married, they're husband and wife, and if the husband dies, then the woman is a widow, and she is welcome to marry anyone in the Lord. Okay? But if the husband and wife, if they're together, okay, the husband and wife have to be committed to each other. Okay? Which means that the wife should not go out and start having an affair with other men when she's got her own husband. And the husband should not go off and have an affair with other women when he's got his wife. Okay? I know that cuts deep. And I'm probably going to be very much hated for it. But I say this to show you that adultery, that we have to be careful what we say and do, because, you know, marriage is a good thing from the Lord, but marriage is a lifelong commitment. Okay? It's a lifelong commitment. It is not just a... And by the way, the world has gotten into this thinking that if they marry, they can do whatever they want and go off and have an affair. That's quite warped and damaging thinking, especially quite damaging to the marriage. Because I'm going to tell you something, and here's what's really sad, is that even in Christian circles, the rate of divorce is really high. The rate of divorce is really high. And it's because of issues like money. There's like three different things. I think it's like what? Money. Tithing. Well, I guess it's money. But there's like three different issues that come up in a marriage that married couples tend to not agree with. That's why there's courtship. Courtship is supposed to be a time to where you find out about the person that you're interested in before marriage. To make sure that you two are biblically sound. Amen. That's why there's courtship. But anyways, not trying to get too much into a marriage sermon, but. Let's get back here. By the way, really, it's interesting. Adultery is mentioned 40 times in your King James Bible. It's mentioned 40 times. 10 times 4. Let's see here. Where did I... Okay, here we go. Luke 16:18. Okay. Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. Okay. Now, Since we're on the topic of marriage, I do want to get into another aspect of what adultery is. Okay? Now, adultery isn't just going around cheating and having an affair with your husband. It's not just, you know, looking at a woman lustfully, though that is part of it. So if you're having an affair with your spouse, that's adultery. If you are looking at a woman to even lust after her, that's adultery. And, you know, again, I'm not trying to be inconsiderate, but, you know, marrying a divorced woman can be adultery as well. Okay? Marrying a divorced woman can be adultery. And we saw that from what we just read. Okay? Now, here's another aspect to adultery. Okay? Paul says, I've espoused you to one husband. And you know who that one husband is? Jesus Christ. Okay? I've espoused you to one husband. Okay? Which means that idolatry is adultery as well. How can you say that? Here's why I can say that. Okay? Again, Paul says, I espoused you to one husband. Let's see here. Okay? It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Okay? So, we have one husband. Okay? We as believers are the bride. We make up what? The bride of Christ. Okay? Let me ask you a question. If we're spouse to one husband, okay, to Jesus Christ, and yet if we're going off and worshiping false gods, idols, isn't that not adultery? I'll tell you why. Because what you're doing is you're cheating on Christ for other false gods. You're basically cheating on Christ for devils. Okay? So idolatry is adultery. Because you're going off and worshiping and serving other gods and not the one true God. I know this is going to hurt, but for all of you supposed Christians that claim to be born again, you say and profess that you love Christ and you know Him, and yet you're worshiping false gods. You're guilty of adultery. And so is the lost world. The lost world is guilty of adultery, but they don't realize that. They think they're just good people. Okay? All you fake and phony Christians that profess Christ, and yet you go off worshiping idols and false gods, when you claim to worship the true God, you are committing spiritual adultery, and you're just as guilty as the lost world. I know it hurts. Okay, I know it hurts. But I would be doing a disservice if I wouldn't be telling you this. Okay? And so idolatry is indeed adultery. Okay? Now, what else is considered adultery? Adultery. Now, a person might take a look at that and say, well, praise God, I don't do any of that. Well, if you lust, then you're a liar. I don't believe you. But if you claim that you can do all those things, then gee whiz, you know, then let me just take you to one step closer. Okay? Looking at pornographic photos and pictures and pornographic movies, such as 50 Shades of Grey and any other pornographic stuff that's out there. Just even watching that, you are an adulterer. Just watching it, you're an adulterer. Do you know why? Turn with me. Where did I put that verse? I think it's in my... Hang on a second. I think I found it here. Yeah, I did. Okay. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. Verse 32. Okay. It says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So you may not actually be in the act of adultery, but just even watching it, watching pornographic photos or looking at pornographic photos or videos or movies, and I say movies because that's basically what's coming out of Hollywood right now. Is a bunch of pornography. Not trying to get too graphic, but it's the truth. Just even watching that, you are just as guilty as those who are doing it. You are. Now you might say, oh, Brandon, well, that hurts. That hurts. I know it does. That's a good thing. Because when it hurts, at least you know that's the Holy Ghost convicting you of it. I'm going to tell you something. By even watching things that is considered that's considered adultery, you're entertaining devils. That's what you're doing. You're entertaining devils. Okay? This, again, I'm not trying to condemn anyone. I'm trying to make and prove a point that you cannot keep the law. I am willing to bet that every single person watching or will be watching is guilty of it in some shape or form. Okay? And by the way, adultery doesn't have to be just physical either. It can be idols. Listen, I'm not perfect. I've had idols in my life that God had to take down. Okay? Bible says if you break one, you broke all. Okay? James chapter 2 verse 10. Okay? James chapter 2 verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. Amen. So if you break one, you've broken all. You've transgressed against the whole law. Okay. Now, what is adultery as per the flesh? What is adultery? Like, why does it happen? Okay. Let's see here. Oh, by the way, let me take a step back. Okay. Now, I had said that idolatry is adultery. If you don't believe me, let me give you a verse for that. Okay. Romans chapter 2, verse 22. Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Romans 13:9. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And by the way, committing adultery against God and against anyone else is not love. That's not loving your neighbor. And that's definitely not loving God. Okay? If you commit adultery with your neighbor, with your neighbor's wife, okay? First of all, that goes against what God says, and that goes against the first commandment, okay? That goes against, thou shalt love the Lord your God. And if you broke that, you just broke, first of all, you broke the whole law. Okay? So, there's no way around it. If you broke one, you broke all. I'm telling you what, this Bible is right. Okay? 2 Peter 2:14, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot see from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised, and with covetous practices, cursed children. Let's see here. I'm trying to think of, just bear with me for just a little. Okay, here we go. That's the one I was looking for. Okay, Galatians chapter 5. Okay, turn with me to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Am I making sense to you all? Everyone that's online, am I making sense with you? Is what I'm saying making sense to you? I hope it is. I'm not trying to be mean, but I gotta preach the truth. Amen. I have to. Whether if it is favorable or unfavorable, I have to, because I'm gonna be held accountable with everything that I said and did in this body. I'm gonna be held accountable one of these days. Okay. But Galatians chapter 5, okay, Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul says that that you were these, you were those people. But the moment that you become born again, God has redeemed you and cleansed you and forgave you of your sin. Anyone in Christ is a new creature. Old things are past. Old things become new. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay. Listen, I know that's really tough to grasp. I know that's a hard pill to swallow. Okay. It is a hard pill to swallow, but it needs to be said. I'm going to tell you something. Can anyone tell me at least three churches? No, that might be, well, okay, no. Can anyone tell me at least three churches in America that are preaching against this stuff? And what I mean by three churches, name me three mega churches that are preaching against sin. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you can't name me three mega churches, that should show you that most of the American church is not doing its job. The churches have defiled and corrupted themselves. And they're not doing their jobs. Instead of being a light in the world has came in and influenced the church. Okay? Listen. I'm not trying to be condemning, and I'm not trying to beat people over the head. But I am commanded by my Lord to preach that. I'm commanded to preach the truth. And I'm going to tell you something. In this day and age, truth is not favorable. People don't want to hear that they're sinners. People don't want you to call their adulteries out. They don't want you calling their idolatries out because they don't want to lose their pet idols. The little pet idols that they pet and go forth with. But I have an obligation to preach the truth. And if nobody likes that, then I'm sorry, I can't help you. Tell God that you don't like it. And besides, if I'm wrong, God will deal with me if I'm wrong. But if I'm right, then I just pray and ask that he show you what I'm talking about. Amen. I want to go back up here and I want to kind of give another example. Okay? Another example. Turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And then we'll close. Okay? Turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I'm still in the Mark. Let's see here. Mark and John. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Okay. Let me tell you. Let me give you some hope. Okay. Just let me give you some encouragement. Okay. Let me show you how Jesus handled it from his word. John chapter 8, we're going to start on verse 1, okay? Jesus went on to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted himself up and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Okay. I think this is going to be a good place to wrap it up. Okay. Amen. Now, listen. The purpose of this message was not to condemn you. We've all lusted at some point. Okay. We've all had idols in our lives. Therefore, we're guilty of adultery because of it. Okay? We are guilty. I know I'm just as guilty. I mean, I know I've been just as guilty as the next person. Okay? I've had idols in my life. I have my own personal shortcomings, which I won't disclose, but I have my own personal shortcomings. I'm not perfect either. Okay? I can't keep the law either. I just like everybody else, I break the law. I'm not perfect either. Ironically, I'm not perfect, and yet I beat myself up part of I'm probably the hardest on myself I'm pretty hard on myself at times. But listen, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law was to stone her to death. And Jesus said to the religious leaders, he said, he that is without sin may cast the first stone. Let me tell you something. I can't cast a stone. You can't cast a stone. No human with a sin nature can ever cast a stone. Okay? There's only one who is able to cast a stone, and that is Jesus. That is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one who can cast a stone. He could have, but you know what he did? He forgave this woman of her adultery and said, Go and he said, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Let me give you some good news, okay? Believers, if you're watching this and if it's something that you struggle with, can I just give you some encouragement today that the Lord does not condemn you. Okay? He'll tell you in his word, I don't condemn you. But he'll say, go and sin no more. Amen? Jesus Christ, he loves you. You do need to repent of your sins. Okay? But he doesn't condemn you. There is no condemnation in Christ. Amen? There is no condemnation. Jesus Christ did not come to condemn. Do you know why? Because we're already condemned because of our sin. Our sin condemns us. The Lord does not condemn. Amen. Now, for all you lost people. Okay? For all those who are lost. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, and if you don't know that heaven's going to be your home, okay? Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, and that God raised him from the dead, and on the third day you'll be saved. Okay? If you don't know that heaven will be your home, you can know for sure today by being born again. Now, what does it mean to be born again? What it means to be born again is putting your faith and trust, repenting of your sins, okay? Asking the Lord to forgive you of your sins, asking the Lord to be your personal Lord and Savior, asking Him to fill you with His Spirit, and putting your faith and trust in what He did for you at the cross. And it's very simple. All you have to do is sit with a sincere heart, again, with a sincere heart before the Lord, admit that you are a sinner, repent of your sins, ask the Lord to cleanse you, ask the Lord to forgive you, ask the Lord to come into your heart, ask the Lord to be your personal Lord and Savior. Amen. And by doing that, you are surrendering yourself to Him. You are surrendering yourself to Him. And when you surrender yourself to Him, you're humbling yourself. Amen. My question is, will you do that today? Will you surrender yourself to the Lord today? Now, what I like to do is I want to play just a couple verses of invitation. Okay, I'm going to play Amazing Grace. Amen. And if the Lord's dealing with you, I want to encourage you to get that right. Okay, let's get that right. Amen. So I'm going to go ahead and play this, and if the Lord's working and dealing with you on something in your life, let's get that right. Amen. We'll go ahead. Let me tell you something. The Lord loves you. He wants you to come down. He wants you to repent of your sin. Amen. The Lord loves you. He wants you to repent. Listen, I'd like to thank you all for tuning in with me today. But I don't want you to take everything I said for truth. Okay? I'd rather you not. I'd rather you not take everything I say for truth. As a matter of fact, what I want you to do is I want you to take what I say and you compare it to your Bible, to the King James Bible. And if what I said does not match with what the Bible says, then let God be true and every man a liar. Okay, if I am wrong, and there will be times I am wrong, but if I am wrong, I pray and ask that the Lord will show me where I'm wrong, correct, rebuke, and chasten me, and show me where I'm wrong, that I might repent. And if I am wrong, then one of these days I will stand before God and give an account as to everything I said and did in this body. And it's either going to be an addition or subtraction of rewards. Okay? But if I am right, I pray and ask that He will show you what I'm talking to you about. Amen? Listen, it was good to be here this morning. I know I did this morning. I don't work till later, so I just wanted to... I had some time this morning. I might actually have some time all week, so I might be able to get back on track on doing it in the morning, on the days that I said I am going to do it in the morning, but we'll see how it goes, okay? On Thursday, if it's the case that I'm going to do one on Thursday, if the Lord willing, I'm not sure what I'm going to be talking about, so pray for me on that. The next time that we have PBL, we're going to be continuing on. We're going to be continuing on the Ten Commandments series, getting into the commandments again. And I think we're almost done. I think this one was like the seventh one. So we've got three more commandments to cover. So you pray for me on that. Pray that God will have his way and will. All right. So the next time on PBL, we're going to continue on talking about the commandments. And I'm going to continue to show you. My phone went off again. I don't know why people call me, especially from Norway. I have no, there's no business I have in Norway. Anyways, that was kind of weird. Anyways, I apologize. But we're going to continue talking about the commandments. Pray for me. Pray for my family. Pray for my ministry. But other than that, I think that's all I have. That's about it. That's about all I have. But listen, I love you guys. God bless you. I am signing off for the day. Stay tuned. I'm hoping that within the next hour or two, I will have this video posted on Facebook and YouTube. It takes a little bit to upload it and stuff like that. Hopefully we'll have this video posted here soon. But listen, I love you guys. God bless you. And if the Lord willing, we'll see you next time. God bless you guys. Love you. You guys have a great day. See ya. Bye.